We probably ought to get serious.
Why?
I don't know. But maybe let's say a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So good and gracious God, we praise and thank you for our evening, our time together. May our gathering just have the Spirit fall afresh upon all of us as we gather here tonight. We thank you for the broad representation of our diocese here, and may we all take this back to our parishes as we receive. May we freely give. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right. So we've got some familiar faces, and we have some new faces, at least to me.
Yeah.
So we're going to enter into a time of praise and worship, a time of prayer. I'm going to invite you to stand as we begin, but if at any time you would like to sit down, or you need to sit down, or you would like to kneel, or pray prostrate before the Lord, this is a safe space. But the first song does give you instructions. Start with number two, and I apologize in advance, I don't often call out the numbers, so if you have a neighbor who knows what song we're going to next as we sing, please help each other out. Amen?
Amen.
Our hands.
Jesus.
Are you receiving any word for the group in any sort of way? I want to make sure we're giving room for that.
All is well, and all is well, and all is well.
Julian of Norwich statement.
I saw the Holy Spirit walking among us. And laying his hands on every one of us.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful. I just felt really called that as we begin a new calendar year, that maybe it would be great to just ask for this fresh anointing upon anyone who came tonight, and thought it might be just great to like actually talk about what anointing is and look at it from a scriptural standpoint, and just some of our great writers who like to share. You know, there's really nothing too mysterious about anointing. From our Catholic perspective, anointing is used sacramentally, and we all understand that from a sacrament standpoint, that anointing is used at baptism and at confirmation and at holy orders, and we understand how the use of oil is used in all of those sacraments, but there's also the common anointing, right? And that's more what I want to stress. And, you know, one of my good friends, Father Dave Pavanka, who's the president of Franciscan University, he puts it so well when he says, you know, why do we pray for these daily outpourings of the Holy Spirit? Or why do we pray for the fresh anointing of the Spirit to come upon us? And it's because we leak. You know, and he's always, his little statement is, the older he gets, the more he leaks, and he didn't want to go into that too much more. And that's, you know, a good point. we all could probably say things about that. But, you know, so we can go back into the Old Testament where, you know, before the sacramental life of our Catholic faith was in existence, just ceremonial anointings in the Old Testament really were a physical act involving the smearing, the rubbing, the pouring of sacred oil rather profusely, you know, which is beautiful, on someone's head or an object as an outward symbol that God had chosen and set apart the person or the object for a specific holy purpose. So, you know, we see that if you've ever gotten to go to a consecration of a church, for instance, like the way the bishop just will rub the oil into the
the altar, to consecrate that altar for the purpose of what it will be used for. It's just beautiful. Like the oil just rubs all over the whole surface of that altar, because it's really to show this whole surface is this anointed surface, right, for God's people. It's been set apart for this holy purpose of the consecration of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, that's the way in which we always say that things that are in the Old Testament, right, they're concealed in the Old Testament, revealed to us in the New Testament, and lived very fully in our life in the church today. The Hebrew term mashach is actually meant to anoint or smear with oil. And the oil used for religious anointing was carefully blended with very fine spices according to a specific formula prescribed by the Lord in a passage in Exodus. I don't know if you've ever paid attention to that, but if you look in Exodus 30, it says, "Moreover, the Lord said to Moses, take the finest spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet-smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and of aromatic cane, 250, and of cassia, 500, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, a hin, and shall make of these a sacred anointing oil blended as by the perfumer, a holy anointing oil it shall be." Anybody ever know that there was like a actual prescription of holy oil right there in Scripture? Right there. You know, I mean, we hear these things and we don't pay much attention to them. But actually, there it was, a recipe for holy oil. And so right there in Exodus, we could find a way to actually make a very beautiful perfumed oil that could be used for anointing.
And that's Exodus 30.
Exodus 30, 22. And it goes all the way to 32, explaining all the ways in which that holy recipe is used. Okay. Using the oil for any other purpose was actually a very serious offense in the Old Testament, carrying the penalty of being totally cut off from the community. So kings, priests, and prophets were anointed outwardly with oil to symbolize a more profound spiritual reality that God's presence was with them and his favor was upon them. While David was still a young shepherd, God told Samuel to anoint him to become king over Israel. And from that day forward, we know from Scripture that the Spirit of the Lord rested powerfully upon David's life. So centuries before David's time, the Lord had actually instructed Moses to consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. God authenticated their priestly ministry with the fiery glory of his presence that consumed their offerings. Holy items, including the tabernacle itself, were also set apart or consecrated by anointing for use in worship and sacrificial ceremonies. I particularly have a really, were you successful? Oh, beautiful. Did they go on their way, or are they coming in?
I don't know what she's doing.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Wasn't easy.
But we sent the expert, we heard.
Not only me, Karen is her name.
The other girl.
Yeah, she was
She was good too.
Well, there we go. Well, praise
two
God.
Experts.
Two experts. God had for the tire replacement.
That's not me. You
know, she was more helpful because she read the directions.
He doesn't like to read directions. Yeah. That's funny.
Leave it to a woman to read the directions.
Just like the recipe.
He doesn't like to read the recipe for directions either.
Thank you, Karen. We hear that you knew how to read the directions. Praise God. Now you really need the holy anointing.
Yes, definitely. You have to sit in the front row.
No, you can sit on that couch over there if you want. Or so anyway, you know, I think that's one of the things that we don't always pay attention to, but I think that tabernacles in churches are just one of the most beautiful adornments of our Lord that we can pay attention to. They hold Jesus for those who are sick and not able to come and be a part of our celebrations of the Eucharist. And a lot of times I find myself very attracted and to like Jesus just beckoning. And I know that some of you were at the conference when Father Anthony Ouellette talked about how Jesus, you know, he was in his office in the rectory and Jesus said, come over and sit, you know, sit by the tabernacle. And he went over to the church and the Lord kept saying, no, closer, closer, and, you know, kept making him come closer to the tabernacle and closer. And it was like, open me, and, you know, and he was like, really, how close do I have to get? And it was like, you know, just really wanted that intimacy with him. And I think that we, I have found myself just like very excited sometimes when at an adoration exposition, when the priest forgets to close the tabernacle and the door is still open, how much that really gladdens my heart that we can, you know, that place where Jesus has dwelt is still open and invites me to really kind of rest also in there. I mean, I know he's exposed on the altar, but to even have that kind of intimate resting place with him. So just this idea of how the tabernacle is this also vessel that has been anointed and set aside. And so I just call kind of a special attention to that, since that is something that goes back to the Old Testament time. The Bible contains a literal reference to a prophet's anointing when the Lord commanded Elijah to anoint Elisha as the prophet to succeed him. It also includes metaphorical references to anointing to indicate that prophets were empowered and protected by the Spirit of the Lord to perform their calling. Anointing the head with oil was also an ancient custom of hospitality. Isn't that interesting? Shown to honored guests. In Psalm 23:5, King David pictures himself as an esteemed guest at the Lord's table. This practice of anointing a dinner guest with oil reappears in the Gospels, in Luke, in Mark, in John. So I don't know how many of you have invited someone over and said, oh, let me anoint your head, you know, as you were going to, you know, sit down to dinner. Probably none of you, right? And I'm not suggesting that that be a practice that you begin. But I do think that it indicates something about remembering whom we have with us, right? There is something about the specialness of what an invited guest in our home and what that means to actually treat someone as one who has been set apart, right? In the New Testament, Jesus Christ reveals himself as our anointed king, priest, and prophet. He is God's holy and chosen one, the Messiah. So, in fact, just so everyone is clear, the word Messiah literally means anointed one. And it is derived from the Hebrew word for anointed Christ, which also means the anointed one. So sometimes people think, you know, when we say Jesus Christ, that Christ is Jesus' last name, and that is not correct. It's actually Jesus, the anointed one, right? That's because Christ means anointed one. So it's like a title for Jesus. And so, you know, when we are talking about wanting to receive a fresh anointing, when we're saying that we want to open ourselves up for, we're wanting to have a daily refreshment in our relationship with Jesus and an openness to how the Spirit wants to be with us in our day, right? So it really is declaring kind of a daily commitment to that relationship with Jesus, the anointed one, and asking for that fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus in the Jordan to also come upon us, right? Each and every day. Why? Because what did Father Dave Pavanka say? We leak. And so we want to get freshly filled up. So what does Jesus declare at the launch of his own ministry, right? It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Jesus Christ fulfilled Old Testament prophecy as the anointed one, the chosen Messiah. He proved his anointing through the miracles he performed and the life he sacrificed as Savior of the world. So there's so many ways in which so many great pieces of our Christian heritage actually help support how we desire to receive these fresh anointings. So one of them that I want to quote is Garrelou Lagrange, a Dominican, who wrote the Prelude of the Eternal Life, which is the three ages of the interior life. He has this to say about the activity of the Holy Spirit in our life. So he's referring to that great story in Scripture about the Lord and his encounter with the woman, the Samaritan woman, right, at the well. And he says, in speaking to the Samaritan woman, he calls grace a fountain of water springing up into life everlasting. In contrast to dead water preserved in cisterns or ditches, living water is not separated from its gushing source, and under the impulsion of its source always flows toward the ocean. Thus, sanctifying grace is not separated from the source of living water, the Holy Spirit. It is He Himself who preserves it in us and gives it that strength of impulsion which drives it in a way toward the spiritual ocean, you and I, toward our eternal life. In this sense, St. Paul says, the charity of God is poured forth in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us, right? That great Romans 5:5. You know, where the Holy Spirit is poured into us, right? So we want to remember that we're asking for that daily. We shouldn't just be like, God isn't stingy. He doesn't say, well, you can only have that once a year, you know, or you can only have that on the third Thursday of every month. You can have that every day. And where are we daily committing to that fresh anointing? Do you want to sit down? Come on. No, I want you to relax and listen. You don't have to stand and listen. So I just think, you know, this great spiritual master, you know, just says how important it is that we know that we have received the Holy Spirit and that we can constantly desire to receive more of the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that are given to us from God, and that the Holy Spirit strengthens the certitude of our hope. And that all of that increases in measure, which draws us towards what? Towards our eternal goal in life, right? So none of this is really for this life. It really is all towards our eternal goal. And that's also, I think, a misconception. I think we kind of think like, I'm striving for all of this for here. Well, yeah, I mean, it has effects here, but ultimately I'm striving for this daily anointing, actually for my eternal life with God and with the angels and saints. It's really not for this life. It has effects in this life. But so that's Garrelou Lagrange, it's a great, you know, just the way in which we grow in our interior life is so important, and the desire we have to really receive a fresh anointing. And then our friend, you know, Father Cantalamessa, our friend in Rome, who actually is going to be stepping down as the only thing he's doing, going to remain doing, is actually giving, preaching the Advent and Lenten retreats to the Holy Father. But he's stepping down as the Episcopal Vicar to the renewal. It's just too much, and he's pretty up there in age, and he just feels like he needs to pass that on. So right now they have surfaced some new archbishops and cardinals who that's all being discerned right now in Rome, just so you all know. But I love what he talks about in this sober intoxication of the Spirit about anointing. And it is about the fact that you and I are the people holy to the Lord. Do you wake up thinking, wow, I'm holy to the Lord? I mean, we should, because that's what we are. We are his holy people. And it's like, so if I'm desiring for a fresh anointing, I have to have the right disposition in my own heart, right? And the disposition in my heart has to be that I already rest in the fact that I am his holy person, right? That we all already are his holy people. And if the disposition already is that I am holy, right, then I can receive better the more he wants to give me today, the anointing he wants to give me for today, right? But if I wake up and I am like, well, I'm just terrible, how much anointing can he actually give me? Right? I mean, just think about that. I mean, and if you act like, I don't know how many of you got to do anything or go to anything or have chosen to go online and listen to anything from the SEEK conference that happened at the beginning of January for the college students. But I will say that one of the most interesting talks I went to, that was like sitting room only. Like, I mean, there were college students sitting everywhere in this auditorium besides on the chairs that were already put for them, was the talk that a medical doctor did on how the Eucharist can heal anxiety and depression. It's a fabulous talk, and it's so true.
I'll be a witness to that.
The Eucharist can heal anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. Well, the talk.
What day? When was that?
That was a talk on Tuesday, about 11 o'clock, I think. And it is online, I mean, so you can sign up to listen to those talks. But I think that what is the recognition of that is that if I believe in what Jesus is doing for me, at every Eucharistic celebration, what is one of the things that we hear, right? It's like the presider holds the Eucharist before us and actually says, free us from all anxiety. Like, should we believe? Do we believe that he has the ability to do that? Right? Well, in that statement alone, if I have a disposition in my heart, you know, to receive that, then I already am on the road to overcome some of the anxiety, you know? I mean, and I know that some people are ridden with a terrible medical diagnosis of anxiety, but there is a lot of just societal anxiety that has risen and risen and risen because of the way society is today. And a lot of that really can be healed. And that was the doctor's point. A lot of that can be healed through people understanding the real power of Jesus' real presence in the Eucharist.
Jane, don't you think it's important to let people know how good they are?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying, wake up that you are a holy person.
Yeah.
You know? You are one of his chosen ones. He has called you to be his holy people. And then the disposition is ready to receive the anointing for the day and where he has called you to be. And then Cantalamessa Mesa goes on to say that in this anointing, that Christians, the anointed ones, because of their baptism, actually have in their living out, it's the joy of actually the result of knowing Jesus as their Savior, that the Holy Spirit, whom they have received in their baptism, as the third person of the Trinity, through the incarnation, the Spirit of the Son, that the fullness of Galatians 4:6, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into their heart. We have received the Spirit of the Son and not any other spirit, right? So there's the confusion, because they're inviting way too many other spirits. And it's like, if I can clearly understand that I have received the Spirit of the Son and not these other spirits, well, my anxiety goes down, my depression goes down, and I am ready then. So this is what Cantalamessa Mesa says. We are then permeated by the Spirit's anointing and have therefore become the aroma of Christ. What a joy to think that the same Spirit who was in Jesus is now in us. The same Spirit is now in us. He whom St. Basil called his inseparable companion is now also your inseparable companion. I don't know, it makes me want to get out of bed in the morning. Like, let's go. Right? It's the sweet guest of our souls. So I just, you know, say that this is a great place for us to begin our year of wanting a fresh anointing. So I prepared a sheet for each of you, and then we're going to kind of share around the room. And then because I just love the smell of this Chrism lotion, we are going to actually cause everyone to like rub some of that on each other's hands as we share, you know, so be generous with it, but not too generous so that somebody, huh?
Slather.
Yeah. but we're going to kind of share this first, and then wanted to just see how many places in Scripture. And this is just, I mean, my gosh. There are probably, I mean, this is such a little smattering of the places in Scripture that talk about anointing. Only because I got tired of typing. But there are probably over 500 scriptures that are talk about different anointings in Scripture. So, like I said, strictly speaking, we can say in Catholic, sacramental life, we know anointing occurs in baptism, in the anointing of the sick, in confirmation. You need anyone? And in holy orders. But the other Catholic understanding is this biblical understanding of the ancient symbolism, which is a very rich meaning, that oil is a sign of abundance and joy. And so sometimes when people say, well, why do you all, you know, like, you people have this blessed oil and why do you use it? We get asked that a lot. And it's like, first of all, because holy oil, blessed oil, is no different than holy water, right? And it's very biblically true that it has been used throughout Old Testament times and New Testament times as a source to remember that what we pray about is absorbed into us, right? So holy water we use to be the recognition of our baptism, but holy oil recognizes that things absorb into us, right? And so if you look here, it's like oil is the sign of abundance and joy. It cleanses, it limbers. The anointing of athletes and wrestlers in Scripture, oil is a sign of healing because it went into and soothed wounds, and it makes radiant with beauty, health, and strength. So when we're reading Scripture where it talks about anointing, we have to think of all of those different ways in which they are trying to help us see an anointing, right? So it may be that they're using the word anointing as something that limbers something up. It may be that they're talking about an anointing as something that's making something radiant. It may be that they're anointing because they're making something kingly. So there's lots of ways in which the word anointing in Scripture has got a broader sense than what we might be thinking. And that's why I wanted to maybe talk about that. So maybe Elizabeth, would you mind reading the first little scripture from Ruth?
Sure. Ruth
Ruth 3:3. Wash yourselves, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking.
So what's your best sense of what that anoint means?
To find favor, to be favored.
It's getting ready to get married.
Cleansing, maybe.
What's that, Elizabeth?
Cleansing, maybe.
Yeah, probably the cleansing. Helen, you want to read the one from Samuel?
Wash yourself, therefore.
No, that's the one we just read. The one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I've lost my glasses.
So. Oh.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah.
So what do we think that anointed means?
Set apart.
Set apart. And do you think that was a little bit of oil or a lot of oil?
A lot of oil.
Yeah, probably a lot.
Horn.
Yeah. quite a bit. And I imagine that horn was really big. Abby, you want to read the Exodus one?
Then he shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and shall consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it shall be holy.
And it's setting apart.
Setting apart.
A blessing.
Blessing it and making it probably, I don't know, I think of tabernacles as being pretty radiant.
Jane,
yeah.
Going back to Samuel.
Yeah.
It said, and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. He really wanted everybody to know that David was the chosen one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, how'd that play out, if you know that story? It was a little rough, wasn't it? Sometimes hard. Anyway. Tina, you want to read James?
Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
Healing.
Yeah, healing. For sure. Kathy, you want to do the Isaiah one?
Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him, and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him, so that gates will not be shut.
Setting apart, showing favor.
Showing favor, yeah.
The strength, giving him strength to him.
Favor.
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 Yeah, favor. Mm-hmm. Here, you want to read that, Psalm 23?
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
What do you think?
Strength.
Strength.
The honored guest.
Pardon me?
The honored guest.
The honored guest. So if you're wondering how to help yourself on a daily basis receive an anointing, just read that. I mean, honestly, I'm really serious. Because there's a lot in there that I'm sorry that so many people do not believe. Number one is that they are favored, right? And number two, that goodness and kindness follows them. So many people do not believe that goodness, that God wants goodness and kindness to follow them. They just think that they have a life of, you know, terrible things are just going to happen. I just know they are. It's like, well, why don't you believe that goodness and kindness? So I would say that if you want to begin with something just very concretely and you don't know how to ask for this fresh anointing daily, just start with Psalm 23:5-6. Okay? Just a simple way. Elisa, do you want to read 1 John on the back?
But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth.
So what do you think that one is?
Identity,
but you have an anointing, so it's the truth you should know and live out of. Debbie, you want to read Luke?
Standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him.
She
is a sinner.
So what kind of anointing is that?
Mercy. What did she say?
Mercy?
Mercy. She's honoring him?
Yeah.
She is honoring him.
Yeah.
And he's giving her healing. Because she's a sinner.
Paula?
Go then, eat your bread in happiness, and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. Let your clothes be white all the time, and let not oil be lacking on your head.
Cool.
So is that a lot of oil or a little oil? What do you think? Well, I think if it's never lacking, it might be a lot. Cheryl, you want to read Isaiah?
So, what did you say? What did you call that one then? From Ecclesiastes? Is that
well,
happy
blessing for.
I think it's blessing.
Could it be like abundance too, since it's from heaven? To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Reassurance, healing.
Restoration, yeah. It's interesting because at SEEK, when I was in the prayer room praying with some of the college students, I really got this word, the oil of gladness for someone. And I could not believe that they didn't know what that meant, the oil of gladness. They're like, the oil of gladness? First of all, they had never heard that from Scripture.
And then they did not know what it meant. So I spent like 20 minutes trying to do a teaching on the oil of gladness. But anyway, which was good. But I was happy to. But it was, they had come with such heaviness. And it was clear to me that the Lord wanted to lift that heaviness by pouring this oil of gladness on them. And that got confirmed by the other person. But it was funny that the person just had no reference point for that at all. So sometimes that's necessary, that we make ourselves aware of how to teach about that, right? Which is also the point of tonight, too. So, Mary, you want to read that one-liner?
I love to. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know.
Isn't that reassuring? There's another really good affirming statement for you about it. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. So claim it. Receive it. Right? You have. You've been chosen. Tina, do you want to read the last one for us?
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 1 Samuel 15:1. Then Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, listen to the words of the Lord."
Praise God. What do you think that one is? The Lord sent me to anoint you.
Could that be mission?
What's that?
Mission.
Mission?
He's been given a mission, and that's affirming it.
Affirming the mission? So I think particularly, God has this divine power, right, that comes in the anointing. And he gives us everything we need for the godly life that he calls us to, which is what you're referring to, Tina. And through our knowledge of him, meaning the way in which we have a relationship with Jesus, who calls us into his own glory and goodness, we then know how better to live that which he missions us to. Right? So I don't know, but I think that we should pray with everyone here tonight to just receive a fresh anointing for our calendar year. When I was down in those meetings in Miami, and I sent this out on the Praise Ablaze about 2033, I am pretty jazzed about this whole thing that Henry Capella, the minute of 2033, which is 8:33 p.m. worldwide, that we unite worldwide and it's a pretty simple task to just pray at that moment. If we set our alarm clocks for 8:33 p.m. and we kind of missed it tonight, I was going to stop us, but we were in the middle of this little exercise, to just pray that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So maybe pray that with me. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
So Henry's point of reference for all of this is that, we who accept the idea that we have been anointed, right? That we have a holy call on our life. In the world, we add up to 133 million people worldwide who really believe that we have the Holy Spirit's anointing to share the gospel with others. And his point, and he did wonderful job of showing that if we spent this calendar year bringing five people into the awareness of
who Jesus is. Five people who don't know Jesus, and we teach them who Jesus is in this calendar year. And those five people next year told five people who Jesus was. That 133 million people doing that worldwide over the next 9 years would evangelize 8 billion people in 9 years. And so it's amazing, like the power of knowing ourselves and the anointing, right? So that's where it's like, you know, who do we know that doesn't know Jesus? There are plenty of people who don't know Jesus. We act like anybody who lives in the U.S. knows Jesus. They don't. They just don't. You can walk down the grocery aisle and meet people who don't know Jesus. They might know a name, but they don't know him. And, you know, so how do we witness to that? How do we use our anointing, right? That we're desiring to, you know, daily, even if we're just using Psalm 23 to say, you know, I want this fresh anointing to let the Spirit come upon me so that I can be directed to know who is the person you want me to bring you to today? How do you want me to do that? How do you want me to use this anointing so that I can bring you to someone today? Right? So we don't want to miss out on that.
And what is the 1033?
What? Well, it 2033 is the 2000th anniversary of Jesus' death, resurrection, and Pentecost. Now, I would say that that might be 2028 because, you know, depends on if Jesus was really, you know, the calendar year depends on when Jesus was. So I'm saying, you know, with the margin of error, who cares? So maybe
8:33 p.m. is.
But 8:33 military time, 2033 is 8:33 p.m. Okay. So no matter what time zone you are in, the idea is that no matter where you are in the world, everyone is praying that simple thing.
And what are we supposed to pray?
Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, come Holy Spirit. So it literally takes what? 3 seconds? I don't know. Anyway, so I'm going to squirt, so I'm going to have everyone put their hand up. And I'm going to squirt some of this beautiful chrism lotion on you. And then I'm going to ask you to find one other person to go rub this on and pray, rub this on their hand, and pray a fresh anointing of the Spirit. And I don't know, Tammy's going to find some great anointing song. But it'll take me a while to get around. So don't be anxious, just enjoy the scent, right? So remember what I read at the beginning about the oil. You know, in Exodus, we had an actual recipe for the aroma, right? Well, this is it.
Oh, don't get out of town. Yes.
We're going to wait until you tell us, right?
Yep, don't. Oops, don't move me.
Sorry.
Just hold it until I tell you to move to somebody. Oh. A whole body experience.
Where'd you get this lotion, Jane?
Oh, okay. Where did she get it?
Eclipse.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so,
Okay, so have you smelled it?
Yes.
Do you feel like you're in the right setting for the aroma, the chrism?
Mm-hmm. I feel anointed already.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Just feel it. Just go through it.
Okay, oh, that's a beautiful song. Okay, so how about if you find, since we're from so many different parishes, find one person here that's not from your parish. Might be somebody you know, but somebody not from your parish. And just stand face to face with that person.
I'm Jared.
And Tammy's going to sing, and we're just going to rub the...
So, I don't know what parish I'm from.
Well, that's just so unreal.
I'm
All right, so
is there a relation between Crimson and
so probably Holy Spirit. Okay, so I just want to say that, you know, receiving the anointing, what is that going to do for you? Right? So we pray with each other. We have this beautiful aroma. That is the scent from Exodus. It will cause everything that you do and desire and touch to increase as the Lord desires, right? That's why we ask for the anointing, right? Because it allows an increase in what we're doing to be in alignment with the holy will of God, right? That's why we're asking for the anointing, right? And so you're going to experience greater levels of like, wow, that's amazing, right? But who gets the glory? God. Because he's the one who gave you the gift of the anointing, and the glory goes back to God for the anointing. Right? And so the scent is a reminder to remember that all of this is coming from the Lord. Right? And somebody asked, like, is this the scent of baptism? And yes, it is. This is the scent, the same scent that every newly baptized baby, that's the chrism oil that they use. Right? And it's the chrism oil that they would use at an ordination. It's the chrism oil that they use at confirmation. But, you know, it's not a sacrament. It's just the scent. So, you know, we know that smells trigger, right? So I wanted to do that and offer that tonight because I want to remind you of the anointing. Right? The anointing that you were given in the choice that either your parents or you made to come into faith. And to remember that Jesus calls you the Holy One. You are the Holy One. Wake up and say, I am the Holy One. I have a daughter, a sister-in-law who used to be the dean of nurses at a nursing school here in town. And she, you know, she said, my biggest problem was these nurses believing that they were good enough to be nurses. And so she used to say to the nursing class on the first day, I want you to look in the mirror and say, I am a good nurse. You know, and then the next, you know, a few weeks later, she's like, I am an amazing nurse. And then she, you know, I mean, every, she just would challenge them because that's all of our problem. Mm-hmm. We don't believe in ourselves. Right? So I wanted to use every sense tonight. Really. Like, I wanted you to hear it. I wanted you to smell it. I wanted you to touch each other and experience that we know God has called us to be holy ones. Now we just have to go out and let ourselves be used by him to be the holy ones we've been called to be. Right? That's why we want a fresh anointing. That's why we want to remind ourselves through Psalm 23, or we want to remind ourselves when we wake up in the morning, we have been set apart as holy people, as his holy one. And that I just want to call down the Holy Spirit afresh upon myself so that I can go be that for him. Right? So remember, you are God's anointed. It's a book that Pope Francis wrote on the gifts of the Spirit. You are God's holy anointed ones. So we're going to stand, and Tammy's going to sing a final song. Uh-huh. because we have set a fire here tonight. Deep down in our souls.
Oh, if anybody wants to go out 2x2 or 4x4, let me know.
2x2 or 4x4?
Yep, 4x4.
Go out and let's spread the word.
Okay, got it.
Thanks for coming.
It's very dangerous to sing.